Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry, with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great, too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
The 380th edition of the MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by Circa Sports. Circa Sports is back with their Circa Survivor and Circa Millions contests. $14 million are up for grabs. Get all the details at circasports.com.
Howdy-ho, Degenerinos, and welcome to the 380th edition of the MMA Gambling Podcast and the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. I'm one of your hosts, Jeff Chalks Fox. Let's send this one out to Turnip, one of our friends in the Discord who always keeps it active in there. So this goes out to Turnip. I'm not sure if I've sent one out to him before, but I have now. Thanks for coming to the show. We have an action-packed episode. We're going to break down UFC Fight Night Holm versus Bueno Silva. The whole main card. Doesn't matter, like I said before, it doesn't matter how good the fight card is. We're going to make some money off of it. And maybe I'll actually pick some dogs because I did not pick any dogs on the prelim episode. If you want to hear that and you haven't already, go back. Episode 379. This man got right out of the gate yesterday and picked a bunch of dogs right off the bat. It's one and only Daniel Gumby Vreeland.
Not a bunch, but also
no,
I'm not going
to... Two, I guess, right?
I'm not going to tell anybody which ones because you got to go back and listen to the prelim episode. Yeah, so there you go.
True. Well, we did break the horrible news that Walt Harris, Josh Parisian, the fight has been canceled. So I'll break it again here if you haven't heard yet. I know, it's sad.
Yeah.
It's okay. We're going to soldier on.
It is what it is at this point. It does seem like Walt Harris is kind of snake bitten when it comes to fight cancellations. I don't know if this at the time of recording this, there's not a reason out yet. So I don't know if it's on him or Parisian. Parisian's had a couple of canceled too, though, hasn't he?
Maybe. I could look it up, I guess. Couldn't I? Let me see.
Do we need to?
Yep. He pulled out of at least one fight, it says here. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, the Chase Sherman fight, right? Yeah.
Well, he's obviously scared of Chase Sherman.
Yeah, I remember that one. It was weird. And, like, Chase Sherman was all bent out of shape that he wasn't getting a fight. I was like, dude, you're lucky you're still there.
Yeah, exactly. Is he still around?
I think so, right? Did he get fired?
I can't remember anymore.
Man, he's starting to feel like Sam Alvey. Am I wrong?
Yeah, it's true. This isn't a Chase Sherman podcast, is it?
It could be.
It could be. We have talked about him a lot. All right. We should stop talking about Chase Sherman and actually probably jump into the episode after I tell you about Circa. Because Circa Millions and Circa Survivor are back at Circa Sports. $14 million in guaranteed prizes are up for grabs. Circa Millions is 5 NFL picks against the spread each week. And Circa Survivor is you just pick a different Moneyline winner every week. Easy enough, right? You enter in Vegas, play from anywhere. Sports Gambling Podcast will be out there last weekend in August. And circasports.com is the spot for all the details. That's C-I-R-C-A sports.com. We've gone through this every week, but when Gumby wins, he's going to buy a ticket to UFC Boston. And he can report back to us how it went. And he says, pick the Cowboys. So that's how he's going to win his money, by picking the Cowboys. Right? No lies there.
That's all you got to do.
All right. UFC Fight Night. Bueno, Holm versus Bueno Silva. We're going to win some money on this as well. July 15th, this Saturday, UFC Apex. What is the start time? I've taken it off my screen now. We lost a fight, but it's probably, at least the main card's probably going to start at the same time. 10 p.m. Eastern. So it's a late one, but at least we can watch KSW before it, right?
Yeah, and at least we get to watch Holly Holm fight at 1 a.m.
Yes, and that will not be a boring clinch affair with nothing happening for five rounds. Not at all. All right, we're starting off with a fun fight, at least. Lightweights, Terrence McKinney versus Nazim Sadikov. Actually, no, let's start off, more than likely, we're going to start off with Jack Della Maddalena versus that new guy that he's fighting, whose name is, what's his name again, Dan?
Basil Hafez.
Hafez. Well, we're probably going to start with that, but this fight card is in flux a bit because of the Walt Harris, Josh Parisian withdrawal. So we'll bump this one to the main card. Welterweights, Jack Della Maddalena, Basil Hafez. Hafez, 8-3-1, one knockout, four submissions, never been finished in a fight. This is his short notice UFC debut, and he's going up against Jack Della Maddalena. He's won two straight fights in 4 of 5, won his last fight via knockout, has not lost since April 2021. Multiple regional championships on his
mantle.
Correct, get the shirt, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/store. Used to fight at middleweight, is a pro grappler, he's at plus 450. Jack Della Maddalena, 14-2, 11 knockouts, 2 submissions. He's been knocked out once, submitted once, so he's been finished in both his losses. He's gone 4-0 in the UFC, all via finish, 1-0 in the Contender Series, multiple regional championships on his
mantle.
Correct. He's fight at middleweight, 4 years younger than Hafez. Negative 602 is what we have, but I've been hearing it's getting even lower than that. It started out open at minus 700 range. Now we're down in the minus 600s as of recording, but I hear some people getting it in the minus 500. So people are betting on Hafez. I am not. Jack Della is one of our guys, and he is going to take care of this newcomer.
Yeah, I think this is a pretty easy one. I like Jack Della as well. I think, you know, like, he's a guy who's got out there and finished Randy Brown in a round. He's a guy who's, you know, shown he's got great hands. He's got good enough wrestling defense. He does all the right things. And you're putting him in there with a guy who has a split decision win over Anthony Ivey. And no shade thrown at Anthony Ivey here, but he's just not the next level kind of guy. He's got a split decision loss to Evan Cutts. Granted, he did avenge by knocking him out for the title after that. But, like, you know, again, Evan Cutts, just like a good regional fighter. And if you're having neck and neck fights with these guys who are, like, you know, decent enough grapplers down at that level, and you're having a tough time grappling with them, like, you're not going to outstrike Jack Della. So, like, the only chance I'm giving people right now to beat Jack Della is, like, you got to get into the mat and you got to hold him there. Right. Like, that's what Sean Brady was going to try to do. And I just don't think Hafez has got that, because he's losing the guys, or coming close to losing the guys who grapple. So, give me Jack Della here.
Not many people do have what it takes to beat Jack Della. I forgot to mention, he's not lost since his first two MMA fights. So he's not lost since May of 2016. So 14 fight win streak. So we expect him to make it 15 straight come Saturday. All right. Now we'll go with lightweights. Terrence McKinney, Nazim Sadikov. Still a fun fight. It was a fun fight 5 minutes ago, and it's still a fun fight now. I'll go T-Rex McKinney first, 13-5, 5 knockouts, 8 submissions, so he's finished everyone. He's been knocked out 4 times, submitted once, so he has been finished in all his fights. Never gone the distance. 3-2 in the UFC, lost, win, loss over his last three, got knocked out in his last fight. Has missed weight before, 0-1 the Contender Series, was a regional champion, used fight at featherweight and welterweight. 4 inches of reach on Sadikov. He's outstruck his UFC opponents by 0.82 strikes a minute. He's at plus 125. Black Wolf, Nazim Sadikov, 8-1, 6 knockouts, 1 submission. He's been submitted once. That was his only loss. 1-0 in the UFC, 1-0 Contender Series. He's won 8 straight fights, so he has not lost since his UFC, his MMA debut as well, which was back in November 2018. He's finished 5 straight fights. He's got better striking, grappling, and active striking stats than McKinney based off of his UFC and Contender Series fights. And he's got a strike differential in the positive plus 0.7 per minute. And he's at minus 145.
I'm going to go Terrence McKinney here.
Me too.
Yeah. I like the dog here. You know, obviously you worry a little bit about his chin, right? Cause you want to talk about his 3 losses. If you want to count his one on Contender Series way back when he got beat by Sean Woodson on a flying knee, Ishmael Bonfim on a flying knee, and Drew Dober throwing a hammer. Like, yes, those are all guys who strike particularly well and knock people out. And two of them being flying knees are like, you know, like, how many times is this guy going to get knocked out by a flying knee? But at the same time, like, he looks really good when he looks good, right? Like, he knocked out Provola, and he, you know, dragged both Farris Zaim and Eric Ghost Pepper Gonzalez to the mat and submitted him there. It's almost like he's either going to get caught or he's going to finish a guy. And Sadikov is a guy who I feel like, you know, yes, he does have a whole bunch of finishes on his record, but that finish against Evan Elder wasn't like a finish. And if you look at the other guys he's finishing, man, I don't know. They don't seem like, you know, a very high quality level of opponent. Like the best one is probably Hasanzada when he knocked him out on Contender Series. And even that, like Hasanzada, just like he took that shot to the body in the beginning of the fight and looked like a different fighter for the whole time. And if you go back to the fight with Evan Elder, he was getting countered a real lot every single time he threw. That was like the biggest thing from Elder is he just waited until Sadikov kind of like waded in with his strikes, which he tends to do. And then he hit him with a hard counter and that was enough. So I kind of think McKinney is just going to tag him with something. And if he doesn't, I do think he's got a massive wrestling advantage. So yeah, give me McKinney here.
And McKinney's got 4 inches of reach to tag him with that as well. Yeah. Sadikov just squeaked by Evan Elder. Due to that cut. So, yeah, I like McKinney too, but he's getting close to bailing on him if he doesn't come through here, because we'll see. We are both betting on him to come through, though. He is a finishing machine, so hopefully he gets it done here. All right, we're staying with lightweights, actually. Otman Azatar versus Francisco Prado. I will tell you about Azatar first, the bulldozer, 13-1, 10 knockouts, 2 submissions. He's been knocked out once. 2-1 in the UFC, lost the last fight via TKO or KO. Used to fight at welterweight, was regional champion. 2 inches of reach over Prado. Striking stats are in his favor, and he's almost 4 times more active landing strikes than Prado, but Prado's only fought once. Azatar has outstruck his UFC opponents by 4.34 strikes per minute. That's a massive number. He's at even money, plus 100. Prado, 11-1, 5 knockouts, 6 submissions, so he's finished everyone. Never been finished himself, 0-1 in the UFC, was a regional champion. He's fight at welterweight, 2 inches of height, 12 years younger than Azatar. He got outstruck in his UFC fight by 2.06 strikes per minute, minus 117. All right, give me dog. I'm making up on not taking any dogs in the prelims, and I'm taking plenty of dogs here. I just like Azatar better as a fighter. I think he's going to be the better striker here. The age gap is a bit of a concern. Hopefully it doesn't catch up with him here, but I think he's going to put a pace and he's got lots of power as well behind that those strikes. So give me Azatar here.
Yeah, he's got tons of power. I'm going with Azatar too. Like, you know, he knocked out, you know, Kama Worthy, who granted didn't have all that great of a chin when he was in the UFC, and he knocked out Teemu Paklin. And yeah, on a comeback fight, he did lose to Matt Frivola, but Matt Frivola knocked out Drew Dober. Like, he can knock out anybody, right? So, you know, I kind of think Azatar is the one who's going to land the big punch, because if you watch Prado's debut, and he was fighting Jamie Malarkey, who seemed to not want to engage in a striking battle all that much. He wanted to just like pick him apart from the outside. Prado got frustrated and started throwing. He's an aggressive guy. He always has been an aggressive guy. And anytime he threw, it seemed like he was leaving himself open a lot. It seemed like he was in a bad place for a lot of that fight. And, you know, like I think you only have to be in a bad place for a second against Azatar and you're going to get knocked out. So, yeah, give me Otman here.
Why do you think he is an underdog? A slight underdog, but an underdog nonetheless.
I'm guessing the layoff mixed with the fact that, you know, he is coming off of a knockout loss. You know, like the last time he won, it's been a really long time, right? The last time he won was September 12th of 2020. And it was, you know, his only 2 wins are over guys who aren't in the UFC anymore. Whereas, like, you might look at Prado and you'd be like, you know, he went the distance with Jamie Malarkey. Does it age well? He didn't. Malarkey just did get knocked out. I still think it ages well. You know, so like maybe people are looking at the method of victory and how long it's been since they lost. And, you know, you mentioned the age. You know, Otman's getting up there a little bit in age, right? He's quite a bit older than Prado. I still think he's only like 32, but he's getting quite a bit older than Prado. So maybe a little combination of all those things, but I do think it's a line worth exploiting there.
He's aging faster than Prado. He's getting older than him, right? He's aging faster.
I mean, he is quite a bit older.
Yes, it's true. It is true. All right. We're both in on Azatar as a underdog. Let's see what we're doing with the next fight. Women's featherweight. Norma Dumont, who was mentioned last podcast, versus Chelsea Chandler, who was on Gumby's last episode of Top Turtle, right?
That's correct.
That is correct. Always a good interview. All right. Chandler, 5-1, 2 knockouts, 1 submission, never been finished in a fight. 1-0 in the UFC. Won her last fight via TKO. She's won 5 straight fights. Has not lost since March of 2018. So she's another one who has not lost since her debut in the sport. A lot of those on this card. I used to fight at bantamweight. Has missed weight before there. 4-1 in Evicta. An inch of height, inch of reach on Dumont. 2.6 times more active landing strikes, but that's based off of one fight. In that fight, she outstruck her opponent by 6.12 strikes per minute. That will get you some wins. She's at plus 122. Norma Dumont, the immortal, 9-2 with 2 submissions. Been knocked out once. 5-2 in the UFC. Won 2 straight and 5 of 6. Missed weight twice. Used to fight down at bantamweight. She's got a positive strike differential of 1.38. Better grappling stats than Chandler, but that's based off of one Chandler fight. Minus 138. It be you or it be me? It be you.
I'm going to go dog again.
Me too. Say, yeah.
Women's dogs, right? And what did you say the number was on Chandler?
122. A lot of these numbers have gone against us, unfortunately, since I originally wrote the odds down on Monday. So people are agreeing with this, I think.
Yeah. So for me, I like Chelsea Chandler's boxing quite a bit. You know, I like that she's had this time off to sort of work and fine tune things. Cause there were moments where she didn't look great against Julia Stolyarenko. You know, like she kind of got surprised by a takedown. I think you won't see that happen to her again. But the thing I like the best about her in a fight with Norma Dumont is I think she's going to put a pace on Norma Dumont, and make Norma Dumont work. Because if you look at a lot of Norma's fights, her best work is done when her opponent's just kind of complacent. Right. Like that's what she did to Aspen Ladd. And she's won other fights that way, too. But I think Chelsea Chandler is really going to push her and really make her work. And she's really good in scrambles. I like when, you know, like when she tried to get, you know, Stolyarenko tried to take her down a second time. She hipped right over and was in mount. I don't think she's going to do that to Dumont, but I do think she is going to get into, if she gets into scrambles, she's going to get back up. And I think she's going to be a little bit faster boxing. I definitely think she hits harder than Dumont too. So like, yeah, I'm going to go with Chelsea Chandler here.
Yeah, me too. Like what we saw out of her in her debut, she's on a really good streak. She's fought really good competition throughout her career. Like all of her fights are either in the UFC or Invicta. Yeah. And I think she's going to be the better and more powerful striker. So I usually always tend to side with that. So let's get some more dog money, which leads us right into my Underdog Fantasy ad read here. We're brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Best Ball Mania 4 is here, and Underdog Fantasy is giving away $15 million in prizes. Underdog Pick'em is also a great way to get down on your favorite MLB and NFL season player props. So many ways to win over on Underdog, and Underdog is available in so many states. Head over to underdogfantasy.com and use promo code SGPN for 100% deposit bonus up to $100. That's underdogfantasy.com. Promo code SGPN.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
And we shall move on to, we're up to co-main event already. Yes, we are. It is middleweights. Albert Duraev versus Jeon Young Park. Duraev, 16-4, 3 knockouts, 9 submissions. He's been knocked out 4 times. So all of his losses have come via knockout. 2-1 in the UFC, 11-1 over his last 12 fights, won his last fight. 1-0 in the Contender Series, was regional champion, used to fight at welterweight, 2011 pro MMA debut, inch of height, 2 inches reach on Park. He's outstruck his UFC opponents by point and Contender Series by 0.41 strikes per minute. He's at plus 135. The Iron Turtle, Park, 16-5, 5 knockouts, 5 submissions, knocked out once, submitted twice. 6-2 in the UFC, he's won 3 straight fights, the last 2 via submission, is a regional champion, used to fight at welterweight as well. 2013 MMA professional debut, 2 years younger than Duraev, more active landing strikes and better grappling stats. He's got a positive strike differential, 1.21 per minute, and he's at minus 155. Give me, I'll go back to two favorites here. Give me the Iron Turtle, Jeon Young Park, much better. Should be a strong grappler. I was going to say better grappler, maybe a better grappler than Duraev, an equal in grappling, probably the better striker here. Really sneaky, 6-2 in the UFC. That kind of, I think he's kind of being underrated overall his career, but I think he's going to beat Duraev. So I will take him at minus 155.
I like Jeon Young Park too. I think for a couple of reasons, I think he's going to be a little bit better on the feet than Duraev. I don't think Duraev's going to get enough of his wrestling going because Jeon Young Park, low key, great wrestler. You know, he's finished his last 2 fights by rear naked chokes. I don't know that Jeon Young Park is going to get enough of his wrestling going. I kind of hope he doesn't try all that much. I hope he uses his wrestling more as like a defense mechanism than like an attack. Or if he uses it as an attack, just to let Duraev know it's there and to kind of scare him. But I hope he doesn't commit too much to it, because I am a little bit worried about this line when you think about the fact that, like, if he fails on a couple of takedowns, which is totally possible against Duraev, there's a chance, in my opinion, that he just gets tired and loses the same way he lost to Hobokov. But I do still favor him here. I still, while that is a concern, it's not a big enough concern for me to just not pick him.
All righty. Let's go main event time. Oh, boy. Have we agreed on all our picks this episode?
We have so far. Yeah.
All right.
Including 3 dogs.
Woohoo. All right. Main event. The exciting women's 5 5-minute rounds. It's going to go the distance, almost guaranteed. Women's bantamweight, Holly Holm versus Mayra Bueno Silva. I'll tell you about Bueno Silva first. Sheetara is the nickname. 10-2-1, 1 knockout, 7 submissions. Never been finished in a fight. 5-2-1 in the UFC. She won 3 straight fights. Last 2 of them via submission. Used to fight down at flyweight. 1-0 in the Contender Series. Was regional champion as well. 10 years younger than Holm. Striking and active striking stats in her favor. However, she's been outstruck in the UFC by 0.51 strikes per minute. She's at plus 150. The preacher's daughter, Holly Holm, 15-6 with 8 knockouts. Knocked out once, submitted once. 8-6 in the UFC. 3-1 over her last 4, including winning her last fight. Used to be the champion of the world. Also used to fight up at featherweight. Was the Legacy FC champion before all this. 1-0 in Bellator. 2011 pro MMA debut. 33-2-3 record in boxing and a multiple time champion in that sport. Also was a kickboxing champion. 2 inches height, 3 inches of reach over Bueno Silva. Has outstruck her UFC opponents by 0.4 strikes per minute, minus 170. Break it down, Gumby.
I'm not wrong in saying that, like, this one's fucked up, right? Like, Holm should be like a 5-1 favorite in this fight, right?
Yeah, she's going to win, Sally. I heard what you said on Top Turtle. I totally agree.
I can't believe...
Picking Holm, but hoping against it.
Yeah, like, I mean, I would love to be wrong on this pick. I cannot stress this enough. This division badly needs Mayra Bueno Silva to win this fight, to pull off a submission, to inject some new blood at the top of this division, to assure us that I am not going to have to sit through a Juliana Pena versus Holly Holm title fight sometime in the near future. She needs to win in order to save us from that ill fate. With that being said, why is she not a 5-1 underdog? Because Holly Holm is much better everywhere except for a submission offense, right? If you go back and you watch Mayra Bueno Silva's wins, and granted, she is undefeated at bantamweight. Maybe that's why we're getting these odds as close as we are. You know, like, she did take down Lena Landsberg a couple of times, but Lena Landsberg is, you know, like a clinch kickboxer, and she looked like she wanted to quit. She didn't look like she wanted to fight anymore. And Howie Holmes a better wrestler than that. Howie Holmes better in the clinch than that. Howie Holmes a better striker from distance than that. I mean, like, Howie Holmes does, like I said, everything better than Mayra Buena Silva, except for attack submissions. So unless you think that Mayra Buena Silva is going to either luck her way into a takedown or submit Holly Holm off of her back, I don't know how you could possibly lay that kind of money on Silva. And I don't know how you can not lay that money on Holm. Because, like, while I, again, do not want her to win, that is such a steal of a price there.
Yeah, Holm has to be the pick, sadly. Hasn't really, she's getting up there in age, but has not really shown too much decline. But with her fighting game, she could probably last forever the way that she fights now, right?
Yeah, I mean, she's got, like, a, you know, in a division that's even thinner than heavyweight now, she's got, yep, like a, she's done a Audrey Arlovsky. She's gone to that point where she's safer than she used to be. She's not out looking for finishes like she used to be. She works in the clinch more than she used to. You know, she just stays safe. And it helped her in literally every fight except for that Ketlin Vieta one. And some people argue that she beat Ketlin Vieta too. Other than that, she hasn't lost since she lost to Amanda Nunes. And I don't know who's the right person to beat her at bantamweight and to stop her from being the bantamweight champ again, but it ain't Mayra Buena Silva.
And let's not forget, Holly Holm is for the children as well, so that can't be overlooked. All right, let's recap. Everything is a consensus this episode. We got Holm, we got Park, we got Chandler, we got McKinney, we got Jack Della Maddalena. All right, don't go away, people. This is the important part. Locks, dogs, props, parlays, all that fun stuff. I think I am up first this episode for my lock. Give me Holm. Sadly, give me Holm at minus 170 for my lock.
Yeah, I don't like it either, but I'm going to do the same exact thing. Like, yeah, it's, yep, it would be,
just told you why.
It would be a pleasure to miss my lock this week. An absolute pleasure. But God, she's got to win. So yeah, Holly Holm.
All right, dog. Who do I like as my dog? Give me Chelsea Chandler at plus 122 as my dog.
All right, I'm going to go Terrence McKinney. I like his chances here to knock out Sadikov. Or, I'm going to change that. I don't think he's going to knock out Sadikov. I think he's going to submit him.
Ooh, really? Is that going to be your... Oh, that is your prop, that's right.
It's,
no, actually,
it's
is
not.
That going to be your prop?
No. Okay. No, all it's right. Not. But I think
just
that's
a bonus
matter.
One for y'all.
Yeah.
All right. I will take. Now I got to do a prop pick. Let me see the odds here. Holm by decision plus 125. That's a steal.
Yeah, I'm gonna stay away from Holm by decision props because I think if she's given 25 minutes of beating the hell out of Mayra Buena Silva, I could see like a fourth or fifth round standing TKO.
That would make her interesting, though.
Yeah, but I don't... if Mayra is, like, emptying the gas tank to try to get after it, which I think she's gonna. Like, I think she's gonna try to get after it. I think she's gonna get popped doing it. So I'm gonna stay away from Holm props because I think this fight could really go anyway. I do like Otman Aziatar by knockout. We mentioned that we like him as a straight-up dog. If he wins, he's gonna knock him out. It's plus 100 on the money line. It's plus 195 to get him by knockout. So, yeah, you might as well get pretty much twice that money for the outcome that's undoubtedly going to happen.
Yep. So we're both in on Holm. McKinney and Chandler, we're both in on that. But Dan has McKinney as his official pick. I have Chandler. And then he has Azatar knockout. And I have Holm via decision. Now for Superfan Jong, Hungry Man Jong, Superfan Parlay, excuse me. Two fights, going to win us big money. Hit it.
I'm gonna be crazy boring on this one. I'm gonna go back to back decisions here. The first one I'm gonna take, I know you're not in on, but I like Ashley Evans Smith by decision against Aileen Perez. I think her wrestling, if she's anything like she used to be, is just gonna hold up. She's just gonna hold Aileen Perez in place and probably win a pretty boring looking decision. She does that. It's plus 300. I really like that price. And I'm also gonna get Evan Elder by decision. I know he was close to finishing Sadikov and had gotten some things going. And a lot of his career, if you go back and you look, he's got a lot of finishes in his career, but He's also a guy who, you know, he hasn't finished some really high level people. Gennaro Valdez is a pretty tough guy. I think this one could go to decision. And if it does, and Elder comes out on top, Elder by decision is somehow plus 350. The books really seem to think he's going to finish Gennaro Valdez. So if you get both of those two to win by decision, Elder and Evan Smith, it's 17-1.
Wow. Plus 1700. That will be a nice, nice score. All right. That's it. We're being efficient this week. Both episodes in your ear holes quickly. If you want to hear more from us, though, we're at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/discord in the fights channel. Come in there and hang out. Twitter's SGP and MMA and Gumby Vreeland, Jeff Fox writer. I'm also Jeff Fox writer on Instagram, Jeff_Fox_writer. Gumby's got the Top Turtle MMA podcast that drops midweek, usually with no me on it. So it'll be an easy listen for you. This week, who you got on this week? Evan Elder and Jamal Pogues, correct?
That's correct.
All right. And all good things in, oh, you can read all my MMA writing in your inbox at moneymma.substack.com. Grab a free subscription there. And all good things in the world are at sportsgamblingpodcast.com. We'll be back Sunday to recap our picks after Gumby bids you farewell.
I'm Data Gumby Vreeland. He's the Iron Turtle, Jeff Fox. And we will see you on Sunday.